Okay, that's recording. Let me just make sure that everyone's muted. Okay.
Okay. I just want to preface this share with certain remarks. I've never given a share like this in my life. And I most of my shiurim I give are outside of the yeshiva, the Baal Batim and stuff. But I think it's a very significant share because Klal Yisrael is facing an Eis Torah. And I don't think that it's, you know, in the Rambam talks, what are you supposed to do in Eis Torah? You're supposed to recognize fate, that it's not happenstance, and you're supposed to be Lizzo, and you're supposed to cry. And we're going to analyze both aspects, recognizing fate and the concept of Lizzo. The shir is going to be divided in two parts. But I don't think the za'aka that we have to do today, the eight sara that we're facing, the poret fate, is not that a city is being sieged, it's not rain. And I'm not an alarmist. I'm very rational. And I don't think fear is an appropriate emotion. But I think we have to understand what's going on in the world today. It's very important. It's an Eis Torah that a very existence of Klal Yisrael, I believe, is at stake. And you know, Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael, every morning we get up and we hear more soldiers dying, and I don't know how people can function. It's terrible. And you know, that's why the Rav said we were Nigal Mitzrayim at that particular time, because Am Yisrael felt the depth of the cry. They felt the pain of their fellow slaves. And that's what we feel today. But I think when we respond to the tzara, we have to be poret chet, it's not just the chet that's plaguing a particular generation at that particular time. I think the chet, which I'd like to identify, is the chet of the Meraglim, which I think is a chet that exists from the time of the Meraglim until today. And I think that chet could be the ma'akev for Geula. I don't know. We will discuss it. But I think that chet, also the chet of the Meraglim, is a real reason why people have an improper response, that they are incapable of being poret chet. You look today at our tragedies. There are all different kinds of responses. And I'm going to analyze three different groups and how they respond. And I'm not doing this b'toras tochacha. I'm not a person to give tochacha. Tochacha, true tochacha, if you want to take it that way, then take it this way. Tochacha has to come from Ava, right? Avram Avinu was the greatest Baal Chesed because he taught people ideas. And if that's the point of this year, I just want people to understand what's going on and appreciate the ideas of the faith that's plaguing Am Yisrael. And I'm going to highlight these three groups and point out the misappropriate responses. And I'm not doing it as criticism. We in yeshiva have to recognize we have a special obligation. We had a Rosh Yeshiva who taught us the ideas and the philosophy in Hashgafa. Lots of places did not have that. And when I give shiurim outside to people, to outside yeshiva, people love the stuff. People want to hear the ideas. Our responsibility as the Mnei Yeshiva really is to teach people the ideas and the concepts and not to criticize. When we see people, we're discussing the foibles and the mistakes so we can appreciate what's wrong, not in terms of criticism. And I want everyone to understand that's the approach we should take with this year that I'm going to discuss. So when this Hester Panim, as we know, Rebbe said, no evil comes from Borei Olam, but Hester Panim means that Borei Olam suspends his watch on Klal Yisrael. We're not worthy of him interfering and stopping. And the tragedies that occur because of God removing his Hashgacha, the Hester Panim, the tragedies can't be directed to Borei Olam. It's directed to the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, Hamas, Yimach Shemam, Sonny Yisrael, B'chol Dovidar, Yimach Shemam. They're worse than animals, right? When I was on a safari, I noticed that animals are very aggressive, but only aggressive to survive. But these animals, they take the Tzelem Elokim, they destroy. distort it to the extent that it's not survival. They just don't want us to survive. They're just totally, totally corrupt. So we have to understand and appreciate that that Hester Punim, the result of Hester Punim, it cannot go ahead and blame Boreolam. It's an absurdity. It's justice. God, there's a bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with Am Yisrael, and our existence has to be dedicated to Kiddush Em Shemayim. The physical self should not enter into the reality of this world. Yes, only insofar as you have to live. But in terms of the way you function, it has to be directed to Kiddush Em Shemayim, to recognize it's not our world, it's God's world. We're Mekabel Ratzon HaMakom, and that's what we have to do. And that's our objective of our existence. So when we analyze these groups, I want you to understand that it's not a criticism, but it's because I think they lack an understanding of the appreciation of the Cheder Meraglim. And we'll discuss the Cheder Meraglim. But first, let's just analyze the three responses and basically they don't follow the Rambam, that when there's Hester Punim, you have to be Poreid Chay. And you don't hear that too often. The first response I would say, and you can't judge these people until you really reach their position, but it's the people who've actually undergone severe trauma and they've been hurt by the enemies, the survivors of the Holocaust. And I was at a rally in Manhattan last week, and they had a brother, it was tear caused you to cry. A brother of one of the hostages, I'm sure you must have heard this on one of the news networks, that his sister was going with her child, running away on October 7th with her husband, running away from Yimach Shemam, the Hamas murderers, scum. And she was running away from them, and she knew she wasn't going to make it. And she gave her child to her husband, who could run faster. And he said, "You run." And her husband was saved, and she was now captive. And this brother now came to speak to the rally. So you can imagine everyone was very moved by the story. But what he said was very interesting. He said, "I'm here to tell you about it, and I'm glad to see everyone together here." And he said, "I want you all to consider, just think of my sister in her mind. Think of her, of what she must be going through. Conjure up that image, and let's all think together about it and have positive thoughts, and hopefully she'll be saved." Nowhere about tefillah, nowhere chay, nowhere, totally missing. And I don't blame the people, but you see what's happening is people who are victims, they have a tendency to look at Hester Punim as a different way. They look at the result that occurs is coming from God, that it's not coming from the Rishon. So they blame God. It's the cause and effect is totally wrong. And the reason why they have that effect, you can't blame them, is because they've experienced such tragedy. But yet, you see some people who experienced the tragedy, many Holocaust survivors, still a Shomer Tomer Mitzvos, and they have a Muna. So I want to see how the Chet Meraglim plays a role in why some people blame God for the chait and others don't. That's the first group I'd like to discuss. The second group, and this is very disturbing, are many of the leaders of the Tzahal and Eretz Yisrael, lieutenants, generals. You listen to the discussions, one even wrote a letter, and how many of them, some do, thank God, but many, many of them, God doesn't enter into the equation. We are together, the law, we are strong, we're a lion, you awaken the lion, we're going to defeat. I mean, where's Bezor Hashem? Where's recognizing that our faith is in God's hands? It's totally, it doesn't enter the equation. And I think if we analyze the Cheder de Meraglim, we'll appreciate why they don't respond appropriately. And the third group is, unfortunately, a lot of people think that when a time of tsar and a tragedy occurs, that they're going to perform lots of mitzvahs. They don't look at chet, they don't look at tshuva. We're going to perform a lot of mitzvahs. We're going to have mass baking of Rosh Hashanah. We're going to have creating tzitzis. I mean, it's a wonderful thing for the Chayalim if they want to wear tzitzis. I personally don't think it's a good idea because it'll interfere with them being agile in the fields, which they have to do. But if you do, spend $1,000 and buy a bunch of tzitzis. You don't start knitting tzitzis and you don't start half Russia's column. Why don't they build buildings? Let's make 100 new houses and put mezuzahs on each of the houses. It's an improper approach. It's an improper. And in fact, I heard one of them say, there's a group that says now there are soldiers are now going into this tunnel. Be misfollow these capital of Tehillim. The tefillah is a wonderful thing. But then they respond afterwards, oh, we thank everyone for the tefillahs because I feel I did something. And now it's what kind of arrogance is that? You think your tefillahs were answered? Well, where does that come from? But I think this third group also, I'm not blaming them. I just don't think that they understand the chayt of the maraglim is still present. And that's why they have that response. So all three groups. So what I'd like to do is really go through the story of the Meraglim. And I would appreciate it if people have questions, just only ask questions if you really don't understand something. Wait till after we go through it, because the way my derech and learning, which I learned from the Rosh Yeshiva, is I'm going to ask a bunch of questions and we'll have one answer at the end. And when I went through it and I saw the Rishonim and the way I developed it, you'll see a light bulb that will emerge at the end. But you have to wait till the end to hear the development of the concepts. But let's just go through the question. We all know the story. What happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe, the Nesiim, the Russian Nesiim, come to Moshe and they say, look, Hashem's now taking this in territory Israel. We want to send out spies to reconnaissance mission. Seems like a reasonable request, right? Before you attack, you send out spies. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want him to send the spies, and it says Shalach Lecha, and Moshe has hesitancy, but he sent them. And my question is, first question is, what was the hesitancy? It seems we have to do our shtadlus. It seems like a reasonable request. When you see attacking your enemies, you want to know where to attack them. That's what Israel did before. They find out as much as they can before they attack. What was the hesitancy of the of Moshe sending, and why did Hashem want to send? That's number one. Number two, who were these Nesiim? Who were the spies? They were the Nesiim. And it's an amazing thing. The Ramban says they were the Chachamim and they were the most respected and wisest people. That's why they led all the tribes. Amazing. And Kalev, and they list their names, he says, in honor, in direct commensurate with the Chachma and honor. And Kalev and Yeshua were not even on the top. And the question is, how all of a sudden, after they go, these Kesherim, did they now distort what they said and want to retreat from their mission? What happened all of a sudden? Very strange. In fact, the Gemara in Sota says, it's an amazing thing. It says, if you want to understand the chait of the Meraglim, it's Mesoras Hi Biyodeinu, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Mesoras Biyodeinu, Me'avoseinu, Meraglim, Al Shem Maaseim Nik. That if you want to know their chait, what's going on, their maasim was based upon their names. And I'll give one. He says, Sasser ben Michael. Sasser, he went ahead and he contradicted the words of what he saw. In other words, he saw, for example, a lot of deaths. And he said, oh, it's land that Eretz Ochel Shiyoshvehi. It's a tough land. But really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. So they wouldn't be detected. They'd be involved in Kivrei Avos. But then the next part he says, what's his name? Sasser ben Michael. And Rashi says, what's Michael? Machkel. He made God weak. How did he make God weak? Because he said, look, it's like a man who gives a gift of a house to somebody and there's furniture inside and he can't move the furniture from side to side. Simply, God gave us this land, there's giants, and he's never going to be able to get rid of these giants. Machkel, he made God weak. But well, look what Rashi says. It's an amazing Rashi. He says, Sino shall HaKadosh Baruch Hu asu badai. Their hatred of God made them lie. Kulam ksherim, chachamim. What do you mean the hatred of God? What's Rashi talking about? They wanted to go to spy the land. Now all of a sudden they hate God? That's the second question. Next question. And pardon me if I look at notes, because it's a delicate topic and I just want to make sure that I get all the points. It says Eretz Ocheles Yoshvehi, right? And Kalev had to respond to the people when they were afraid. What did he tell them? They said, afraid to go and God can't take us. What did Kalev say? Kalev said, don't be afraid. Sarat Sile Me'alehim. God removed their protection. Meaning the plank shot is, in other words, that God will be our protector and not their protector. But Rashi says, an amazing Rashi, he says, who was their protector? He says, Eev was their protector. And Eev died at that point. Now the Gemara gets into, when did Eev live? There were like 10 different generations they said he lived. And one says he's only a mashal. So what's going on? What's Rashi trying to teach us? That the Tzart Tzilem Aleim. It's just an idea. It's not literally Tzart, but what's the idea that Eev lived at that time and he was killed, and that's why Tzart Tzilem Aleim. Okay. Next question is, what did Klal Yisrael say when they heard the spy's response? They said one thing. They said, Nitnu lano rosh v'neshuva mitzrayma. They couldn't handle it. They were terrified. They said, let's appoint a new head, not Moshe, let's appoint a head and go back to Mitzrayim. What does Rashi quoting the Gemara in Sanhedrin say? Lashon Avodah Zarah. It's a Lashon Avodah Zarah. Where's the Avodah Zarah? They were terrified. They just wanted to go back. They couldn't handle it. What does it mean, Lashon Avodah Zarah? Next question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, oh wait, before that, Yeshua and Kalev were able to be immune to the Atzas Merachim. And the Gemara in Sota talks about why that was so. And the Gemara says, Kalev went to Kivrei Yavos, he went to Chevron, he went to the Kivrei of our forefathers, and what does it say? It says, he Bikesh Olav Rachman. He wanted to seek compassion, that they should seek compassion for him. Tosa says, what do you mean they should think? Hamesla Yadina. They have no idea what's going on. And what's this concept of Bikesh Olav Rachamim? Min has Bechir Chavshi. What does it mean that he's going to have Rachamim and then he's not going to fall chay? What's going on? Where's his Bechira? And then we're not only done. Then the Gemara goes on and Yeshua, he didn't go to Kibrei Yavos. Why? Kvar bikesh Moshe alav rachamim, because God thought compassion for him. Why? Because it says, "Vayikra lo shea benin Yoshua ka Yoshiacha me'atzas meraglim," because God will go ahead and save you from that atzas meraglim. What does that mean, bikesh of rachamim? How does a name change prevent someone from falling prey to the atzas meraglim? It seems very strange. And then the Gemara says, Ekav haya Kalev haisa ruach acharasimo, and that's a clue. It says because Kalev had different spirit within him. But we'll have to understand what that means. The next thing is what happened when Hashem heard what Klal Yisrael was saying. What happened? The first thing is he wanted to destroy them, right? And Moshe had to be mispala the same way as Diego. And then Hashem said, it's an amazing statement. He says, Osa hayam, Rav Yochanan, Osa hayam, Erev Tisha B'Av hayam, Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, Atem b'chisem b'chiyah shel chinam, you're crying for no reason, v'ani kovei alechem b'chiyah u'doros. I'm going to make you cry for generations. My question is, what kind of, it's like God saying, it's like a parent says to the child before he smacks him, you cry, I'll give you something to cry about. My father, Hashem, I remember those. What's Bar Yochanan saying? And then what happens? He's saying, that night was Leil Tisha B'Av, And that night, through the generations, was going to be a couple of Piranhas. What's going on? What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying? And then what's the punishment Bori Olam gives? He says, this generation cannot enter into Eretz Yisrael. What do you have to do? Dig your own graves. Imagine, dig your own graves, and every year you're going to lie down in the grave, and you don't know whether you're coming up or not. I mean, it's like terrifying. I would think, I mean, you know, in law school, they used to teach a cruel and unusual punishment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes Mida Kenegan Mida. What's this cruel and unusual punishment? Digging your own graves, lying down in it, and you don't know whether you're going to get up the next morning or not. Sounds crazy. And the craziest thing to me is, I mean, the most difficult thing is, what happened after all of this, all these things, after they saw what happened, the Meraglim, tongues came out, and they died of Misa Mishuna. What happens right after? What happens right after? You have these Mapilim. These guys said, no, we can go into Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe said, no. And the Pasuk says, Moshe, Va'aron Hashem lo Moshe mikarav nacha. Reality is, you cannot go. But they were they neurotic? They just heard, they saw these Meraglim die, and they was hota, and now they're saying, no, we're going to go. And of course they went, and they were destroyed. What's going on? What's going on? Yeah. So I think in order to answer all these questions, I think there's one answer for all of them. And I think we have to analyze when the Gemara says that it's Mesorah Hibi Yodeno, if you want to know the Chait, know their names, I think that's where we can start. I think that's the way we can understand the Chait of the Meraglim. Because it says that what? Their hatred of God made them lie. I don't think you can say that there was actual hatred here. I think it means it was an unconscious resentment. And let me explain why. We have to understand the mindset of who of the Nesi'im, right? Because they asked to go, right? Hashem told them, you're going to go in, and I'm going to fight for you and conquer Eretz Yisrael. But no, but they said they want to go in. Why is that? Who are they? They were the Nesi'im. They were the heads. They were the honorable people. They felt that they were inadequate. God's doing everything for them. He gave them water. He gave all these things. He took care of us, the Adam Mitzrayim. They felt impotent. They felt inadequate. They wanted to be involved. So they said to Moshe, we want to be involved. We want to. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't go because, you know, you have to have bitachon. But they wanted to participate. Moshe sensed, it was a sense of ambivalence because he knew it wasn't inappropriate in terms, once God promises you something, you should recognize it. But he didn't want, as a leader, he had to make a decision. He didn't want them to feel totally inadequate. And so he sent them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was hesitant, Shalach Lecha. So now what happens? They come into the land, they see these giants, and they're terrified. They're afraid. Now, what's the whole reason why they wanted to go? Because they felt they were inadequate, and they felt impotent. So now they see fear. Now, who are these people, really? They were slaves their whole life. So the fear was overwhelming. So what did they do? They couldn't tolerate their own inadequacies. So what did they do? They projected their weakness onto God. That's what they did. And you see, they were in that attitude because in Dvarim, it says, when it recounts the story of the Meraglim, it says that they said that God hated us. So Rashi says, what do you mean God hated you? God didn't hate you. God did everything for you. So Rashi says, no, because the mechanism in a person's mind, when he sees something bad in himself, then he'll say it on his frame. It's classic projection. And that's what's going on over here. They projected their own weakness, which they couldn't tolerate because they felt inadequate, and they projected it on Bori Olam, you see. And that's what Rashi means when he says their hatred of God made them lie. It wasn't a hatred. was an unconscious resentment. They couldn't tolerate the fact that God was doing everything for them. So they fabricated, they distorted the what they saw in the messages. And the question is why? Why did they do that? Why couldn't they just respond at that point? God, you'll take care of us. They saw all these miracles, right? Why couldn't they respond? And say, respond to their fear and say, and this is the chet of the problem. And it's the chet, which I say, Borio, to all of you, it's the chet that plagues Am Yisrael this day. The chet is that they look to Borei Olam as a parent, as a father in heaven, that God is there just to take care of our needs. They think that they were special, that God did all these nisim and nefilos because they were special. They didn't realize that they have a special mission, that they have a mission to be what? To be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, to be Mamlechas Goy Kadosh. And that demands total selflessness. You don't have to have fear. You have to recognize that your reality is that you accept that you are a special nation and you have to accept for its own Hashem. They look to God as Big Daddy in heaven taking care of their needs. So what happens, you know, with a parent? What happens with a parent? The kid is a father and mother takes care of a kid his whole life. Then the kid becomes to what? To teenage years and some throughout their whole life. They rebel against their parents. They come to the parent and they ask for keys to the car. Father says no. And the kid says, oh, you don't do anything for me. Parents did their whole life for the kids. But they can't handle that they're totally dependent. So they rebel. And that's what the Meraglim did as well. Because they looked at God, they looked at Borei Olam as Big Daddy in heaven just to take care of their needs. So therefore, that response can be understood. And it's an improper response because they felt they were special and they did not have a special mission. And I think that can answer all our questions. What did they say? Rashi said, Tanun on a Rosh, Meneshuv Mitzrayim, Lashon Avodah Zarah. It's philosophical Avodah Zarah. It's sublimated Avodah Zarah. You have to understand your relationship with Borei Olam. God is not Big Daddy in heaven, his parent to take care of your needs. You have to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of reality and you have a special mission. You have to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. You have to be selfless. And they didn't recognize that. They didn't recognize that. So that was the chet. That was the chet. So what happens? So what happens is they say Tanu Lanu Rosh, Lashon Avodah Zarah. Chazal are pointing out to us what the chet was. It's Avodah Zarah, it's philosophical Avodah Zarah. Then it's an amazing thing. When Hashem heard it, he says, look at all these miracles I did, right? But what does Hashem say? He says, I didn't do the miracles for you, but Kirbo, amongst you. You're not special. I did these miracles because when I took you out of Mitzrayim, it was for one purpose, for you to enter into Eretz Yisrael and living in Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Kadosh, which God gave to you. And that's when people ask us and the reporters ask you about this land, you should respond because God gave us this land, it's ours. And not come up with any political mechanisms. Tell them the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. So what? But that's the truth. And we're going into Eretz Yisrael. And the miracles that God performed was not for us, but amongst us. So we should go into Eretz Yisrael and be a Mamleches Kohen and Goy Kadosh. Fulfill the mission of Am Yisrael. That's really what we have to do. God is not Big Daddy in heaven. He's not there to take care of our needs. But we have a mission. We have to be a moral light onto the nations of the world. We have to be Kadesh Shem Shemai. And then what was God's response? He said, you're going to cry. You're crying for Nora. I'll make you cry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching us what the failure was. He's talking like a parent to a child. But that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. He's not our parent. He's just, it's a clue to understand what the chet was. The chet was that we had no clue on how our relationship with our Kaddish Baruch was. And there's a tremendous chasm because of that with our relationship, because we look to God there just to take care of our needs, like that. And Hashem said, if that's the way you want to look at it, you're crying for no reason, I'll give you a reason to cry. And what did he say? That was that was Koveya Leil Tisha B'Av as the Yom Shel Puranias. That was the day the first Mikdash was destroyed. That was the day the second Mikdash was destroyed. That was any chet in the Tzibor stems from the chet of the Meraglim. That was the Koveya of Yom Tisha B'Av. And that's the chet that plagues us till this day. People look to Borei Olam, his big daddy in heaven. It's philosophical Avodah Zarah. And what did Kadosh Baruch Hu, what was the punishment? Dig your own graves and lie in it. What was that Kadosh Baruch Hu telling him? You think you're special? God is a source of reality. That's what you have to recognize. It's not a cruel and usual punishment. It was Mida Kenegan Mida. So they should learn. And the last door, the last survivors of 40th year, some of them were able to go because they learned their lesson. But they had to, before you enter into Eretz Yisrael, it was necessary that the people recognize that who is Borei Olam? He is the source of reality, and that is Echad. There's no other force in this world. Hamas, Chol Davidar, it's nonsense. Don't be afraid. You could be alarmed, but fear is an inappropriate emotion. It's a terrible emotion. You have to recognize God is the source of reality, and the reality is one thing. If you recognize you have a mission and you're totally selfless and you accept Achdus Hashem, that is the reality. Then you can be Zocha to Yeshua and there won't be Hetzer Panim. But we have to have that attitude and we have to recognize that. And that's why it was Kavul Ladoros. It's an interesting thing. Also, Kalev and Yehoshua Bikesh Al Avraham. I want to answer that one after we understand the second half of the shir, after we understand the concept of tefillah. And I think it's important to understand how tefillah plays a role when Esara comes. And I want to talk about it in terms of the universal. One final point, though, on the Chet of the Meraglim. Ezra was destroyed the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. Ezra destroyed her. And then again it says, but when Mashiach comes, he'll destroy the Avodah Zarah. So Rebbe gave a shir, and he said what Ezra did was he destroyed the over expressions of Avodah Zarah. Molech, Baal Pa'ar, all these crazy things. When Mashiach comes, then he's going to destroy the sublimated Avodah Zarah. What I want to say that Avodah Zarah is the attitude that people have, philosophical Avodah Zarah, that they think that God somehow is Big Daddy taking care of him, an infantile notion. They look to God as the Father in heaven, and that's the philosophical Avodah Zarah, which Mashiach will destroy. How will Mashiach destroy it? By us knowing what our mission is. By knowing that Borei Olam is the creator of the world, he's a source of reality, and our only job is to be Mekadei Shem Shemayim. That's our reality. As selfless existence, we shouldn't be the physical self. We have to recognize God gave us a best existence, the world of the soul, Torah and mitzvot. And we have to teach that to people, like B'nai Avraham. And that's the reality. And if we have that reality, Then Mashiach will come. It has to. That's the Haftacha that we have. And I say that the Chet of Meraglim is the Chet, another raya that's the Chet, because when are the two times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael? Only two times. The Chet of Ego and the Chet of the Meraglim. Because those were two distortions. That's Avodah Zarah, the greatest chet. One was the overt Avodah Zarah, the ego, which Ezra got rid of. But then there was the Avodah Zarah of the chet of the Meraglim, which Mashiach, B'mehrav Yemeinu, will take care of. So that's why I think the chet of the Meraglim is still the chet that plagues all of us. And I think if we understand that, then we can understand those three groups. What do I mean? The first ones who survived tragedy, a Holocaust, or they were at the tragic event of October 7th, and they blame God. Why do they blame God? What's the reason? Because they look to God as there just to take care of their needs. God's big daddy in heaven, and he didn't take care of me. Now this happened, I'm blaming God. But if someone recognizes that God is only the source of reality, and he gave us a mission that we have to live, be a moral light unto the nations of the world, and we have to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. And if we don't, then this has to upon him. He's not Shomer Yisrael at that point because we breached the bris. The ultimate results, that's because, like Hashem says in the Tochacha, he's telling you that the nations of the world, they're animals. I mean, and if they're not animals, then they distort the cell of Mokim. They're just stupid, like the people today, the millennials. They're just, you know, they're interested in selfies. That's their world. They're totally involved in the world of the self. So they're removed from any kind of cell of Mokim. But that's the people it doesn't emanate from God. It emanates only for one reason. One reason why you can't be a moral light onto the nations of the world is because we don't have the proper perspective of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why they blame God for all these tragedies, because they think God was the creator. They were created just so that God can take care of them. That's absurd. That's Christianity, God, their God, Father in heaven. That's nonsense. What's the next group? These lieutenants, these sergeants. That's arrogance. Kochi ve'otzim yadi. That's absurd. I mean, very nice. We have a strong army, but if Iran gets involved and this one gets up, are we going to be able to withstand that? We have to do our shtatos, but you have to recognize, you have to appreciate that we, Borei Olam, has to enter the equation. This world is God's world. That's the world of reality. And we have to just recognize that we have a job, and our job would be more light onto the nations of the world and teach them Chachma, teach them the ideas. And what's the third group? The third group was just throw mitzvahs, do mitzvahs, they don't pour it chay. Why? Because when you look at God as big daddy in heaven, you want to please the parent. So that's what they're trying to do. I'm not saying that they think God has emotions, God forbid. They believe in Achdus Hashem, but they're looking to God as big daddy in heaven. Let's please him. We can do more things. And if I'm his follow, God answers my tefillas, I'm special. It's the same fate. And that fate was evident by the Mapilim, because we said, look at these Mapilim. They were neurotic. God just said, they saw the Meraglim die, crazy death, and he said, you can't go into Eretz Yisrael. And they said, we're going to go. They were called Mapilim. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, where did that name come? Because Ophel, darkness. And then he also said, it's a Lashon of Azus, arrogance. They thought God was Big Daddy in heaven. They were totally in darkness in terms of their relationship with God. They were Azus. They thought they were special. So what do they think the Avera was now? They thought the Avera was, we doubted God. He's our Superman. He's going to take care of us. Let's go. Moshe v'Aaron lo mashu. They had the improper idea of the relationship with God. God's not there to take care of your needs. God is chesed, that if you go ahead and you fulfill your obligations and you recognize that your obligation is to teach the world to be a moral light of the nation in the world and to recognize Achdus Hashem, and you have to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, then Chesed Hashem, he'll be Shomer Yisrael. But you see, the Mapilim didn't recognize it. Nachet is still prevalent. And that's why these three groups can't be Poreit Chet, because of the Chet and Meraglim is still with us. And I think people, and I do this when I go out, it's a basic yesod you should teach people. It's a very important yesod. Now let's look at tefillah, because the Rambam says, what does he say when, so, yeah.
You just have the main idea of a different.
Right, correct. When we say Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Shebishmayim, that's for us to recognize that God is different than us. God has no emotions. He's not physical. He's removed from man. The way the Christians do, Father in Heaven, that God loves you and he sends you Yashka, that's because they look to God as a father. We don't. We look that God is different from us. And that he's Avinu Shebamayim in the sense that if we fulfill our mission and we go ahead and we'll see by Za'aka, the Haftachas that Hashem gives us, then he will take care of us. But that's only, I would say, and we'll see. I don't want to jump. We'll see in Za'aka how that works. It's actually me, the Kenega me, though. We'll see. We'll see through Za'aka. Yeah.
So somebody serves at the Nori that Hashem should prepare them on the honor. Doing mitzvos. So, isn't that like Hadron described? What do you mean,
Yira? Right. So, slow lishma. But you can't ever think. I'm saying the Cheder to Meraglim is not because shlo lishma. It's a total distortion of man's relationship. He looks to God simply there to take care of his needs, and he's special. And that he's special. And that's an arrogance. And that's why you have these three groups, and that's the Cheder and Meraglim that plagues us all. And that's why you have all those responses, because they look to God as a parent, the big daddy in heaven. He's not. Yes, he gave us mitzvos, and you pray that we could have, God will answer your tefillos. Not you're going to pray for a Rolls Royce. God, no, like Rebbe said, God will help a person in terms of his perfection. That's what the Malachim do. Malach only relates to men, the Shluchim of God, to make sure a person who wants to achieve perfection, the laws of chance will set up, that he will achieve that. If he's going to learn all day, then God will see that he has enough sustenance to be able to reach that level. But let's understand the next component. What does the Rambam say when the Esara comes? The first thing is Poreichei, right? The next thing is the Akka, crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does the tefillah mean? So it's an interesting thing. Thank God I saw this year. It really opened my eyes. There's a Rashi on Noach that says, V'yiskar Elokim es Noach. So Rashi says, this is Midas Adin. And the Midas Adin is Nepach, Midas Arachamim, that God's Midas Adin is converted to Midas Rachamim. How? Al Yedei Tefillah Sadikim. Through the tefillah tzaddikim. And if you look in the Gemara, Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sukkah, and the Gemara in Sukkah says as follows: Amar Rav Elazar, Lama Nimshlo tefillah tzaddikim ke'eter. The tefillah tzaddikim is compared to a pitchfork, and this is an amazing statement. He says because just like a pitchfork can go in, you insert it into the hay and you move it around. Now you can go in the silo; it doesn't look like anything it looked like before. It's different. He said, so too, the tefillah tzaddik mahapeches daitel shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it twists, turns up the mind of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mimidas achzarios lemidas rachmanos. From the mida of achzarios means someone who doesn't listen to your tefillah, like he's cruel, lemidas rachmanos. Now, Rashi in the Torah says midas adin and midas rachman. In the Gemara, it says midas achzarios. So Rashi is showing us what is Midas Adin really. Midas Adin means when you basically do not fulfill the Ritzon Hashem, you're a Choteh, that Kadosh Baruch Hu should not be Shomeh to listen to you. I mean, strict in, he sets the rules, you violated the rules, that's it. But there is a Midas Rach. But who does the Gemara say the Gemara can do it? The Tzaddik. And it quotes the Lashon of Pitchfork, it says also that Lashon is the by Yaakov and Rivka. What happened? They couldn't have children. And it says, Vayetar lo. They were involved in excessive prayer to Borei Olam. Vayetar, excessive prayer. They didn't move. He stood in Zavius. What are they doing? What does it mean? What is tefillah? And the Gemara says that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them barren is because he was misaset. Misave to tefillah. So Rebbe explained through the concept of tefillah, you're not going to change God's mind, but you raise yourself to a higher level. And that's why he wanted to. But I want to understand what the perfection of tefillah is that raises you to a higher level. And I think that the perfection is, it's a tzaddik. Who is the tzaddik? And I don't think it necessarily means a tzaddik. It means someone, a gabra who's makabel ritzon hamakom. He recognized this is not his world, it's God's world. And his whole life is committed to one thing, accepting ritzon hamakom. And that's the word. And what's the Ratzon HaMakom? That you live a life, Mimakadei Shem Shemayim, that you're selfless, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of reality, and he wants man to live at the highest level and enjoy life the most. He gave us Torah and Mitzvos, but you have to recognize that you Makabo Ratzon HaMakom. That's what the tzaddik is. So what does tefillah do? Tefillah, who are you mispallel to? You're surrendering to Borei Olam. You recognize Nazis, Hamas. Okay, it's alarming, but there's only one source of reality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of reality. It's a total surrender to the Ratzon HaMakom. You recognize that the fate of Am Yisrael, what's happening, is only in Borei Olam's hands. Acceptance of that reality, you see? And that's why it says it was an excessive prayer. It was an excessive prayer because it was a total recognition and reliance that their fate can only be determined by God. There's no other determinant, no bigger armies, cancer. There's no determinant. You have to recognize Kibul Rizal. Of course, you have to do your shtablis and ain't some halanes. But there were times we saw Rabbi Gober mention, there are times when they couldn't. And they just, because they knew they'd lose. But you have to recognize Borei Olam as a source of reality. That's what the tefillah does. And it's an interesting thing. There's a, we learned the Tehillim Chaf, and it's quote Shmuel Yad Ches, that when David was doing a war with Avshalom, so he wanted to go to out of Yerushalayim to go to the battlefield. And the soldiers told him, no, you stay here in Yerushalayim daven for us. That's better. It's an amazing thing. David was a great warrior. And the reason why David was such a great warrior, because he had no fear, because he recognized that Gaius delay, and he recognized that his job was just Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, and that if he lives his life appropriately, then reality will set in. God will watch him. But what was the reality? The reality was, they said, better off you're being mispallel here and you're being omeid betfilah. Why is he omeid betfilah? To them, that was just as real as him going on the front lines and killing people. And when Amalek came, Moshe's hands were raised to the Shemayim. That's the reality. The reality we have to recognize in tefillah is a total surrender to the Ratzon Hashem. That's what tefillah, one za'aka. You poreit chet, I failed in my mission. But what is Midas Rachamim? Midas Rachamim is that when someone surrenders and recognizes his whole fate is determined to God, then Midah Kenega Midah. God will answer his tefillah. Because you accepted God's Ratzon, he'll accept your Ratzon. It's an amazing thing. That's the way it works. And that is a reality. And that's why David had no fear. And that's what the whole Sefer Tehillim is all about. Recognizing Malchus Hashem. And that we are just, I saw an interesting Miri, right, Gersh? At the end of Malchus we saw. What does Miri say? What is Emuna? Emuna means that you keep mitzvahs for no reason in the world other than it's the Gezeret HaMelech. But no type of not for honor, not for this, not because you're going to enjoy it. It's because of Gezeres HaMelech. That's Emuna. That's what we are. We are a Bria. We are nothing. Avram Avinu, Afar, Be'efer, whatever. We're meaningless. Our existence is one. Our existence is to be Achshem Echad. Our job is to Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. That's our job. And through Tefillah, we're acknowledging, we're surrendering to Borei Olam, and we're saying, Borei Olam, we recognize that we failed, but we're makabel your Ratzon. And I think there's an amazing Rambam. I haven't seen it years ago, but Ezra pointed it out to me again. And it makes a lot, it's an amazing Rambam. He says that when a person goes out to do Muhammad for Am Yisrael, so listen to this Rambam. This is not the Hasidish Rebbe. This is the Rambam. V'chol ha-nilcham, v'chol libo, below pachad, anyone who fights with his heart, without fear, the tehe kavanaso lekades shem bilvat, and his only kavana when he goes out to melachah is I'm doing it because of Hashem Achad. I want to be mekadesh shem shemayim. It's very nice that you want to protect your homeland. It's very nice that you want to, you have to recognize you're destroying Amalek because they're Kiyad al Kase Ka. You want to be Makadei Shem Shemayim. That's why you're going out. What does he say? Muftachlo. Shalo, it's a haftacha. Shalo yimsa a nezek. You're not going to be any nezek. No damage is going to come. Below Sagia Ra, no evil is going to happen to you. And you're going to, you'll survive the Milchama, but you'd lo bayis nachum be Yisrael, and you're going to build a house in Eretz Yisrael in amongst Am Yisrael, v'yisko lo banav ad olam, v'yisko l'chayim haba, and you'll be m'chayim olam haba. So he's not talking about muftach that you can get olam haba, but muftach that you're not going to get killed in the war. If every soldier, if you went to the lines and told them the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a big daddy in heaven, and we are just what we accept our job as reality, and we want to, and that's what the Kohen Mashiach did. What did he do before they went to war? Shema Yisrael, Shem Elkei Mashiach, and Rashi says with the chus of Achlus, they won't get killed. This is not fantasy. This is the reality. That's why fear is inappropriate. You have to just recognize the reality. And we have to recognize the reality here, what's happening in the world today again. It wasn't so far again. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, if this has to upon him, then the Ummah's Olam, they're animals. And they're not rational. And you can try all the social media in the world you want. It's gornish helping. It's not going to help. There's only one resolve. We have to be Batuach Ba'ashin. And it's not blind faith. It's not blind faith. It's rational. It's based upon the fact what they ask you, why we have Eretz Yisrael? God gave it to us. That's the first Rashi. And Rebbe said it was for us to know that. We have to understand that. We have to appreciate that God is the source of reality. And when you recognize that reality and you take on your job as Mekabel Kem Shemayim, the Rambam says, there's nothing's going to happen to you. Recognize that. Appreciate it. It is reality. And the next thing you see about the tefillah is very interesting. With Yehoshua ben Nun and Kalev, what does it say? It says Kalev went to Kivrei Yavos, Bikesh Olav Rachamim. It uses the Lashon Rachamim. Rachamim, we said, is Midas Adin and Midas Rachamim. Midas Rachamim is when a person recognizes that he failed, and then he sins. But Hashem, b'makom kaparah, so inivra, God knows we're going to fail. But we recognize we're just the Bria. And we recognize that our job is in Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. That's our sole obligation. Kibul Ratzon ha-makom, and recognize that we have to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. And he gave us the best life, a life of Torah and mitzvahs, where we don't have to be involved in the world of the self. Any psychotherapist will tell you that all these problems become because a person is entrenched in the emotions of the self. If you remove yourself from the self and you recognize that your obligation is just to live a moral existence and to teach people to have a moral existence, a Mekadesh Shem Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, you see, then you bikesh lo rachamim. When tragedy comes, you explain to God, I'm a kabel ratzoncha. That's my life, you see. And therefore, you should be Mekadesh, and therefore, we want you to help us. And your tefillos will be answered. And your tefillos will be answered. Kalev went to Kivrei Yavos, because who were the Kivrei Yavos? They were ones who had the proper concept of Borei Olam. They recognized that their sole purpose in existence was to teach the world. That's what Avram did. Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. You see, so that's Bikesh Olav Rachamim. He needed to be inspired. Yehoshua, it says he got Rachamim from Moshe. Moshe was his Rebbe, and Moshe told him, Kol Yoshiach HaMatas Rangam. Recognize God is the source of reality. That's his name. That's how he identified himself. He knew that he was just the Bria, and his whole purpose for existence was Kiddush Shem Shemayim. That's why Yeshua was very victorious in Milchama, and he went out because he did it for one purpose alone. And what was that purpose? Kiddush Shem Shemayim. Now it says that the tefillah of a tzaddik is like a pitchfork. What does that mean? Why does it use the expression of a pitchfork? A pitchfork, the blade is very sharp and it's very painful. And if a person wants to accept the Kibbleron Son HaMakom and live that life, it's not an easy thing. To go ahead and subordinate the self and to recognize your whole existence, you're just the Bria, that's very painful to man's ego, to man's hedonism, to the sense of self that exists in the world of the physical. But the tzaddik is the gavro's makabo ritzon hamakom, you see. And he went through that painful experience, but he recognizes now that his whole world is in the world of objective reality, and that his whole mission and everything in his life is merely to be mekadesh shem shemayim. Hashem is echad. That's his life. That's why it says it's like a pitchfork. It's a very interesting mashal, you see. And also, yeah. So I think we can see from here that tefillah is an appropriate response, and you have to surrender to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that means the way God set up tefillah, that abandons the notion of that God is parent in heaven to take care of us. It has nothing to do with it. Our tefillah is we're appealing to the source of reality and we're saying, Borei Olam, I was a chota, I need rachamim. But what is the rachamim? Because I recognize now through my tefillah that my wife is barren, I'm barren. It's not, there's no other way to go ahead and for me to be cured. You're the only reality. Totally surrender your ratzon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, accepting ratzon HaMakom, like David HaMelech. That's what we have to do. And that's why the Meraglim had fear. Why did they have fear, the Meraglim? And Kalev tells them not to have fear, because the fear only emanates from the sense of the self. If you have recognized that you're just the Bria, and the real world is the world of the soul, and the world that you have, that you use your efforts that God gave you to me, Kade Shem Shemayim, and that's your reality, then God will be Makambo Yifus. You won't be harmed. That's a reality. This is not Hasidus Rebbe. This is what they're telling you. It's a reality. You're not doing things to please God, but you're doing it because you have a special mission and not that you're special. You feel like you're special, so then you'll park wherever you want. You won't open doors for people. We are Gomli Chesed because it comes from Avas Hashem. We recognize the source of reality. We're not special. We have a special mission. I just want to end with an amazing, I saw this week and it opened up my eyes. It's an amazing Ramban in last week's Parsha. Amazing Ramban. Hashem promises Abraham, because you recognize, you know your mission, that you are dedicated to Kiddush Shem Shemayim, your children are going to be like the stars in the heaven and the Afar Haaretz. And both those things can't be quantified. That's the blessing, because you taught the world, Lassos, that what's your obligation? Lassos Zedako Mishpat. That you recognize Echad Hashem, that God is one. There's no other source. Broke idols. Recognize we are just Brias, and our obligation is Mekadesh Hashem Shemayim. And as a result of that, what did Hashem say? Your children will be like the stars and the Afarets. And the Radak explains what's the difference between the two. Amazing. He says, if they keep the mitzvahs, Torah mitzvahs, then they'll be like the stars of the heaven. People will look up to them, glowing and admiring the stars. But if they don't keep the mitzvahs, then they'll be trampled on. Everyone's going to try to, afar arets, everyone's going to try to stomp on them. But it's interesting. After the Akedah, Ramban says as follows. He says, Yan Asher Asises Adavar Zeh, since you went and brought your son, Abram, to the Akedah, he says, Gam etchiloh, in the past, in the past, I promise you, your children are going to be what? Like, but now I'm going to add something. That you did this great thing. God is promising, because you accepted the Akedah, now, I promise to you, even when your children do Averos, they will not be destroyed. It's a haftacha of the eternity of Am Yisrael. And we see that, right? Mark Twain said it. Am Yisrael will always be here. We always persevere. It's this haftacha. And he says, oh, Sheyipo Biyadav Liyakum, and you're never going to fall in the enemies and not win. And then what does he say? V'hine zu haftacha shalema b'geula hasid olot. This is the haftacha that Hashem gives that they're going to be the goal, Mashiach is going to come. And it's interesting. It says, what did he add? He didn't just say Zarach Chofesh Mayim and Afaretz. He says Kachol Hayom, the Kachol Hayom. Why does he compare us to the sand of the sea? I notice when in Miami, you go on the beach and you come in, the sand all over the place. It's in the closet from one year to the next. You can't get rid of it. That's what Hashem is telling Abraham. Your children will never be extinguished. It's eternal. But why now after the Akedah? Avram, he did tzedakah, he did justice, he taught the world Hikar Boro, and Hashem Zarachim Kolesh Magva. But only after the Akedah now does he say, what? They'll have Nitzlius and it'll be Gulas and Mashiach. Why now only after the Akedah? What happened at the Akedah? Avram took Bincha, Yechidcha, Asher Ahavta. All his emotions as a human being, as a individual, he didn't understand it. But he did it with alacrity. He got up and he did it with alacrity. Avram Avinu was manifesting his only one reality. Kibul Ritzon HaMakom. That is the reality. And that's what he did by the Akedah. Kibul Ritzon HaMakom. And for that, and you have to only recognize that if you recognize that God is Echad. He's not Big Daddy in heaven. We're not special. We just have to have a special mission. And that's why Avram has loved every man, because he recognized that he's not special. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is the source of reality. And that's why after the Akedah, and he manifested Kibul Ritzon HaMakom, that's when we have eternity. And that's the Avtacha, that Bias and Mashiach will come, and your children will have that eternity. But what's necessary? That the fate of the Maragim has to be gone. We don't think we're special. We have to have a special mission. And if we have that special mission, and we recognize our job is what? Just recognizing Hashem Echad. And when Makabal that Ratzon, and when tragedy happens like today in our Tfilos, we should say that we're B'nai Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. Zuchus Avos Tamu. But look at the chesed that we're doing, like Avraham, Yitzhak, the Giborim, they're going to fight, like Yitzhak the Akedah. He was Makabel, he was willing to give his life. They're willing to give their life. Well, B'nai Yaakov, the situation occurred that there's no longer Sinas Chinam, and we're gathered together, and now we're ready for our Kaddish Baruch Hu, not just for Hatzalah. There's not going to be another Holocaust again, God forbid. There's going to be Geulas HaMashiach, but we have to recognize one thing. Just one thing. Ramban says, look at it. Recognize we're not special. We have to have a special mission. And through tefillah and the way we act, we have to recognize it's B'yad Hashem. And we have to do what is just. We have to do ishtablos, because ain't so much on us. But we have to recognize that our fate is totally in B'yad Hashem. And that's really why the Chet of Meraglim has to be removed from Am Yisrael. Because if that Chet is still there, we're never going to be able to be, we won't be able to parade Chet, we'll come up with all crazy kinds of things. We'll think when we're davening that somehow, God, we're going to get him to change his mind. I don't know if people think that, but whatever, we're going to say, have mercy on us because we're suffering. That's just an emotion. You have Rachmim on us, because we recognize Ritzon HaMakom. That's how we live our life. And we're a nation's Makabel Ritzon HaMakom. And we recognize that Ritzon HaMakom is that we live a life of chesed, of ethics and morality, and Makabel Malchus Shemayim. And that's our obligation. If we do that, and we recognize that it's God's world, then God will be Makabel our Tfilos. We're Makabel Ritzon. It's Mida Keneged Mida. And that's really, I think it's an important for us to appreciate that, at this time when Klal Yisrael is facing a great tsar. And as I said, it's not a limited tsar of a siege of a city or rainfall. It's the and the leaders of Am Yisrael will tell you they're fighting for the very existence of Am Yisrael. And we see what's going on here in America. The lighting, you can't trust America. They all hate us. Why? Because they don't have that Selam Elokim that they're using the proper way. The only way that Hashem will be Melech al Kol Haaretz is when we recognize that man is just a created being and that we have an obligation and we teach the world and we have to show them that what is morality, what is ethics, what is, how do you live a life? And then they'll recognize the source of reality is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that we are just Brios. And that's what we should be Zelcha for. God willing, with tshuva and recognizing this and in our tefillos the proper way, we will be Nigal, we will be Nigal B'mehera V'yameinu. Okay, any questions? I hope that question...
I just wanted to say, can you hear?
1 second. There's a question here. I'll come to you right now. Right. No, you tell them to do Torah mitzvot, but they have to understand one thing. I would discourage people from Hafreshes Chala and all this stuff, because I think that's alien to the way Torah Jews have to act. But you have to teach them that we're not special. We have a special mission. I think it's very simple. It's a big problem today. You see an attitude and a certain arrogance, and that's what you have to teach them. And yes, God will listen to your Shema Torah Mitzvah. That means because you're Mekabel Ritzon HaMakom, and it is the best life for you. Because if God is a Baal Chesed, he gave us a Torah, which is the best existence for man. As of course we're selfish in that sense, but we have to recognize where our energies are guided. We have to recognize that God is the source of reality, and we're makabel ritzon hamakom by living the best life, by living a life of Torah mitzvah, by being a moral light onto the nations of the world. But don't think that we're special, because if you think you're special, then you're going to approach God as Big Daddy in heaven, and that's the philosophical of Avodah Zarah. And that will be uprooted. That's a chet of Morachim. That'll be uprooted when Mashiach comes, because he's going to teach the people. Mashiach is going to be a teacher first. He's going to teach the people to understand these ideas. And that's what we're aspiring for. Yeah, someone had a question?
I wanted to say that I'm in Israel, and I feel like we are moving towards exactly what you are saying. I can see like Hashem is, what Hashem did is, it's engineering something that is moving us in that direction. For example, like everyone going to the army, people are becoming very selfless. And that's the first
step. That's right. That's right.
And I think even, and you have to, and Israel is more Sephardic people who like a little bit different when they start doing whatever they're doing, challah, I don't know.
That's
they are now turning themselves onto, there is a system of mitzvot that is have to be.
That's why I say
we're moving towards that.
When you mispal Tashem with Bnei Avram, who is doing chesed in this world like Am Yisrael? Well, all they're involved is with selfies and nonsense. Look at the chesed that's coming into Eretz Yisrael. And Bnei Yitzchak, look at the Giborim, that the Chayil Tzva Gana. Well, you don't have any Giborim like that. That's why you have to misfollow. And with Bnei Yaakov, there's no more Sinas Chinam, with Shiftei Ka, the world that knows who we are. And that's how we should be misfollowed, that we should be Zolcha to the Gula because of that. Yeah, I hear. Any other questions?
Yeah, hi, Rabbi Feder.
Yes.
So just a question, one of the points you mentioned, I believe you were going to mention or discuss, was the inyan of za'aka.
Right. So that's go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So this, because like I'm looking at in the Rambam and Hilchos Tainis that he talks that it's a mitzvah saseh, that when we have a eis tzara, we have to lizok le'aria b'chatzotzros.
Right.
And so it sounds like it's a little different than tefillah per se. And yeah, of course, there's results in a whole different concept of what we are, but there's an element of za'aka, which I would like if you could please elucidate.
Yes, that tefillah of za'aka, which I was saying, the Rambam first says when tragedy occurs, You have to be poreit the chet, and then you have to recognize that it's not keret, that it's just not the normal circumstances. The reason why things are bad is happening is because of Hester Panim, because the reality is that God is Shomer Yisrael. And if things are happening, we have to recognize that there's a chet. And what I'm saying in Tzur Za'aka, first you have to recognize the chet, and I think the chet is, part of the chet is, that we look to God just to take care of our needs. We don't recognize that it's our obligation, that we have a special mission. And the za'aka over here that we have to have is a universal za'aka. The za'aka to recognize that we're makabel ritzon hamakom, that God is the only source of reality. And we're crying out to Borei Olam, we accept you as the Melech HaOlam, and we dedicate our lives to live a life of morality and ethics, and therefore have Rachman on us and be makabel aratzon that we should continue to exist and we can fulfill our mission and that we can be a moral light onto the nations of the world. And that's what Za'aka is. Not simply because we're in pain and it's terrible. That's of course, and we think Rachmanim like a father, but there has to be a reason why Borei Olam, the removal of the Hester upon him. And I think that has to be removed because we should have the Zoic that we recognize our total faith is dependent upon Borei Olam. That's the reality. And that reality, there's no pachad, because pachad comes from the concerns of the self. But we're not concerned with the self. We're concerned with Am Yisrael as a nation to be a moral light onto the world. We're concerned with inspiring other people. We're concerned with being Kabbal Ritzon HaMakom, to living a life of Torah, because that's the best existence. And that's fulfilling God's Ritzon. We're Makabel Ritzon HaMakom. And if we're Makabel Ritzon HaMakom in our tefillos, we surrender to God and recognize to our faith. And that's how tefillah raises us to a higher level, because we recognize that God is the only source of reality. And that's what Za'aka is. It's not simply because I did one chet, I'm going to keep Shabbos. That's a wonderful thing. But when it's a time, the Za'aka, where you want the continuation of Klal Yisrael and B.S. Goel, when you're looking for that, it's a different type of chet. It's the universal chet of not recognizing who we are as a nation and what our job is and what our responsibility is. And that's what we have to do. Makabel Ritzon HaMakom. And of course, that's Torah and Mitzvot, because that's the ethical and moral existence. And we do Chesed, and we are Giborim, and we are Shiftei Kach. And therefore, we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're doing these things, Mikabel Ritzon HaMakom. Not because we think that we're doing it because God needs us to, or because God's a parent we're trying to please. Has nothing to do with that. That's philosophical over the Zohar. We're doing it because we recognize that our Kadosh Baruch Hu is the source of reality, and we're living our lives based upon His Ratzon. Like I said, the Miri said, keep the mitzvos, the Torah mitzvos. I can give you 100 reasons why it's the best life. It is, but ultimately we're doing it because Makabo Ratzon Hamako, and that's how we have to be Zoic. And that's what Yaakov and Rivka did. They didn't move until they were Mispala. Hashem said he was Mispala. What were they doing? They recognized that their fate was totally in God's hands. That's Zaka. And that's how I have to be Zoic. And that's the important point I think you're referring to. Any other questions?
Would you say that this is the potential address of close enough to a Hashem Malkecha? Is that a motion that Big Daddy?
Could be. I didn't do it. Look, to get this point, I wrote this Miraglim 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. I developed it. My eyes have been open, Baruch Hashem, through my tefillos. I pray that God opens my eyes. I'm able to see, I see the handwriting on the wall. I see this is the fate of the Dar. As I explain these three groups, people look to Borei Olam, they think they're special. It's a terrible attitude. It's prevalent. We're not special. We're not special. We're ka'afar aretz. We have to accept Ritzon HaMakom. We're special in the sense that Borei Olam, with B'nai Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and we have an obligation to show people that the world of selfies is ridiculous. The world, but first, Am Yisrael. Let's first work on us, that we have to recognize Makabel Ritzon HaMakom, and that we are just created beings. And that's our mission. Yeah. Yeah, because when you, because it seems like it's cruel and an unusual thing, right? But you have to recognize God is reality, and part of reality is that people die and people, and that's what you have to recognize. God is not there. He was trying to take that. God's going to take care of you. If God's taking care of you, you don't dig your grave. That's the total ultimate recognition that God is the source of reality, that he's not there to take care of you. He's not big there. And that's why God said, oh, I'm gonna go ahead. You want something to grow? He's showing you that the faith, I'm not your parent. And he's not your parent. He's a Melech HaOlam. And he gave us as his Abdei Hashem. We're Abdei Hashem. What does that mean, Abdei Hashem? We're not slaves to our passions. We're slaves to reality, to Borei Olam. And that's why we're free. That's true freedom. The true freedom is accepting our mission, being a moral light onto the nation of the world. That's our mission. And if we fulfill our mission, as she was reporting, the Za'aka, and that's what we have in Manzaka, we'll be Zelka to Gula of Sat-Mashiach. And I'm not a mystic. I'm far from a mystic. I don't look at these Nisim and jump for Nisim. It's just we have to recognize this is not Rebbe Shetorah. This is David HaMelech's Tehillim. This is what the Avos represent. We have to recognize we're not special, but we have a special mission. And I think if we fulfill that mission, then we will be Zelka to Golden. We'll see it in our days, God willing. Okay.
God bearing.
What?
How do you, God bearing Moshe at the final
test of the Torah? You know what it says, that Moshe, in the last Rashi in the Torah, says, Yashapoko Moshe, that he broke the Luchos. Yeah, and Hashem, because we can't deify. That's why we don't know his kever, and that's why Hashem, because Moshe reached the highest level.
Part of the message. Why they bury themselves every year.
Oh, yeah, no, that was only for that door, because that door suffered what their chait was, and why they made that projection of fear and all these kind of things was because they thought the miracles were being done for them, not for Kirba. So God had to show them that he's not Big Daddy in heaven. That's what he told them. That was the chait of that door. They experienced it. Now we have to learn from that and recognize that fact. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have any notions of that. He knew the reality.
It sounds like you reach the highest level and got into that.
Then you'll be Nishika. Then you'll die by Nishika. That's the highest level. That's the highest level. Die by Nishika. In other words,
you'll get all of
it. Yeah, that's what the Rambam says. If you go to Muhammad and you're not Mavachet Hashem, he doesn't say just not yelling and gossip. You're going to have children who are Shema Torah mitzvahs. You're going to be able to buy a snuff on the Yisrael. You can get all that, the true good, right? And that's what we're misspelled for. I'm only talking now that feel that we have to do the Za'aka because Kla Yisrael's existence to us. Yeah. That's right.
Because
Moroccan
and they were
like struggled,
they saw the miracle of
Kula. 100%. That's right. It's Mashiach will come, will teach us the ideas, and people will understand these ideas. It's very difficult because we're brought up as children to parents, and our whole life, I see people even at 40, 50, 60, they're still trying to please their parents. And that's the emotion they have. It's a very difficult emotion. And it takes a lot of effort and time. And part of it is recognizing, just the recognition alone is important. The first step, what's the recognition? We're not special. We have a special mission that we have to be Makabo Ritzon HaMakom. And what is the Ritzon HaMakom? That we live the best existence for us. Not being a slave to our passions and emotions, liberating ourselves to the world of ideas, and being a moral light onto nations and the world. And if you have that as a reality, then won't be pachad. The Rambam says openly, if you go to war without pachad, it's a very high level. That the Torah recognizes a high level. That's why they let people go home. The Torah doesn't demand the impossible. You have to be at that level to go at Muhammad. And that's why the Kohen Meshuach, before the Muhammad, what did he say? Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And Rashi said, let's do that, they'll be saved. Because it's not just a recitation, with a, it's a recognition of the God is the source of reality, is the only determinant of our faith. That's what you have to reckon. All right. Yeah, that's what I said earlier. I quoted that from the, that's the projection. Because it says, Besinas Hashem Osano, and Rashi said, that's the same projection they did when that they couldn't tolerate their fear, so they projected it onto God. It was in the realm of projection. Okay, any other questions? It's, guys, this is a very, it's like you said, it's very difficult. It's a very difficult concept to grapple. You have to think about it. It's very hard. It takes a lifetime to come to. Some people are a higher level, they can do it younger, but you have to recognize what our mission is and that and appreciate that. And that's the reality. And you know, it looks bad with the social media and all. It's irrelevant. We have the answer. We have the, Hashem gave us the answer. David HaMelech told us, they read Tehillim. That's exactly what's going on. And that's why we read Tehillim Beis Sarah, because we recognize when Makabo Ritzon HaMakom, and recognize that faith is only in God's hands. And we have to be Makabo Ritzon HaMakom. We have to be a moral light unto the nation of the world. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.